Kuf Saba Sifhei. We begin in the tour. So the tour also says something somewhat startling. It says, "Afilim Omer Lamalve Ani Mochel Chaharibis V'Nosin Lo V'Matana Aser." It says, "Well, you know, even if the Malve says I'm Mochel the Ribis, and you give it to him as a gift, it's still going to be Aser." V'Gaonim Kasu V'Gaonim Kamen She Mochel Halove Lamalve. If the Love is Mochel to the Malve Ribis, Shalakach Osha Asid Likach.
Wait, and the case is the Malveh
is
giving it back to the Loveh?
The first case is if they say to the Malveh, ani mochel lecha haribis, v'nasnu lecha v'matana. I'm not going to give you ribis, but I'm going to give it to you as a gift. Right?
Mochel lecha means you don't have to pay, but so Malveh has to pay anyway. Okay.
That's true, right? Okay, yeah. But that's not commented on by the Beis Yosef. But he gives it to him as a gift, so that's still going to be Usher.
Yeah.
As the Darkei Moshe, which is what in as well, even Matal Menas L'Hachzer is Usher. Okay. Bago, that's a real Kenyan, so therefore that's going to be Usher as well. Bagoonim Kasvushim Machal Lova L'Malva, that if the Lova is Mochal to the Malva, the borrower says to the lender, Ribis Shalakach Osha Asad Likach, that the Ribis that you took or the Ribis that you will take, he says, "All right, I'm Mochel. You know, I know the Torah gives me a protection that you're supposed to give me a loan without Ribis, but I'll pay you anyways." Ava Pisha Kanumi Yado Osha Nasu Lova Matana Eno Klum Shakol Ribis Shavola Mechilehi. He says that even if he's Mochel, he makes a kinyan on it, and he says, "Okay, I'm gonna let's do this full. I'm Mochel, and I want you to have the Ribis." That's Usher, because that's how all ribis works. All ribis, by definition, any payment of ribis, he's not forcing him to give it. Any payment of interest, by definition, means that the borrower is mochel, and that's Usher. That's what the Torah says. Aval Torah lo machla. The Torah wasn't mochel, and therefore you're not allowed to do it. V'asr mechila zu. Lefichach ina mechila mo'elas klum. V'afilu beribis shel divrayim. So therefore the mechila doesn't work at all, even by ribis derubanan. So can't have that case. However, the Rambam argues on this. If you look in the Rambam, this is Rabbi Broid was here last week and a half ago. We talked about where the Rambam quotes Machlokas. This is one of them. The Rambam quotes the Gaonim. And why does he quote the Shita Gaonim? As Rabbi Broid said, because he wants to say, yes, there is that opinion of the Gaonim, but it's the wrong opinion. So the Rambam quotes that opinion and he says, yeah, V'chatzush Mechila Mo'elas, the Mechila works. So that's very odd. Wait, really? The Mechila works? That the Lova can be Mochel? Say, oh, I'm Mochel. I know the Torah gives me protection. I'll pay you the ribis anyway. So he says, V'adoni Avi Harash Kasav Bad. So the Rush comments, yeah, Vada, if he took from him the ribis and now he wants to give it back, that's what the Rambam was talking about. That's the mechila that he gave it. I mean, in theory, if the Lova pays back the ribis, the 120, and all of a sudden they learn this halacha. Hey, wait a second, I paid you ribis, you owe me the money back. So in theory, the malva has to pay him back. So in that, the lova has the right to be mochala. That the lova could say, forget about it, just keep it, it's over, etc. Like, well, that's already in like a status of gezel, that it's money that you have that I own, and I could be mochala to you. About the shas l'kichas haribis, but at the time that the ribis is being taken, even if I say I'm here by giving it to you as a gift, it's still prohibited to accept it. So that's what the Rosh claims the Ram was talking about, and that if you look at the Beis Yosef quotes it here. The Beis Yosef comments, "V'ze gam kein das Rambam." That's really what the Rambam holds. Perek dal mihilchos malva kamoshe tira mevuar b'dvarav. As you can see, it's explicit in his words. But the way the Rush gives a pshat in the Rambam, or it doesn't really necessarily give a pshat in the Rambam. The way the Rush says mechila would work, that's what the Rambam was talking about when he said mechila would work. That's not talking about the actual loan or the actual repayment of the loan. Rather, it talks about the repayment of the ribis that came from the loan that came to you b'eser. Kamoshe tira mevuar b'dvarav. That's the way the Magen Mishnah explains it, the Ma'arik explains it, and not like the Ravid. What does it mean, not like the Ravid? Because the Ravid goes after the Rambam. The Ravid says, Rambam, you crazy. What are you talking about? Any case of ribis is by definition where the lova is being mochel, and that can't be. So the fact that the Ravid argues on the Rambam indicates that what? He didn't understand the Rambam in the way of the Rush. So ever the Ravid is on the other side. Fine. adds the Ritva an interesting thing. Here it says, "Umechila ba'ones, achad as a Rambam lo mehani." That mechila ba'ones, even according to the Rambam, wouldn't work. Therefore, those people that make the lova square at the time of the loan, shiyaslehem mechila achar hapiron, that you'll do a mechila after the payment back. He avdi lo mahani. It doesn't work. The machmas ones hashvua hu avdi, because he's just being forced into it. Adavdi la ella imkain modem al atzma shemochlin believe shem, unless he himself admits that I was mochel in a full heart. So. Right, so what's this case? So they forced the lovet to pay, and not only that, they forced the lovet to say that not only are you paying ribbis, but you're going to be mochel when you bring this to Basin. If you report this to the cops and they say that I have to pay you back, you're going to be mochel then. So that makes it, come on, that doesn't work. Yeah. He's just saying, but he has the right to back up on that mechila.
So if I loan you money with interest, you pay the interest, and we're both over a lot, right?
Yeah.
Then we get, then I come to you and I say, you know what? Here's your interest back.
So you were the malva, okay.
Does that take away my love?
So it sounds like so it sounds like there's some degree of tshuva that comes about like that, but in theory I could be mochel without it. It's not really a ben adam. It's not. I think the point is that it's not a mitzvah ben adam lechaveru. It's a mitzvah ben adam lemakom.
I mean, once I take the interest, my question really is that the end? Is that then I've done the
sin,
and it doesn't matter whether I give
them money. Ah, so that's kind of alluded to here by the Prisha. So the Rambam said that, yeah, you could be mochel that repayment. That's what the Rambam is talking about. That if the ribbis was paid, and let's assume that that's John the Rambam. If the ribbis was paid, and the now we realize, hey, wait a second, there's ribbis paid, the malva has to pay back the lova. The lova can say to the malva, don't worry about it, just keep it, and we'll move on with our lives. That's what we got so far. So the Prisha comments here, the Prisha in Ches on the page here, comments nearly the dafkel of patrumet tashlumen moel. That only works to exempt him from tashlumen, to exempt him from paying back. About iser ribbis shachal lov, but the Isser Ribbis hasn't left him. He still has some requirement of. That's unclear. It doesn't really say, right? But how one does that mean that? Is he saying that you can't gain a full atonement min hashem? What he's saying is, yeah, that Rambam which said the Mechila works, that works b'dinei adam. But b'dinei shemayim, you're still over a lav. So how do you solve that problem, b'dinei shemayim? He doesn't say. Do you solve that problem by saying, oh, well, I guess Hashem is requiring that I pay you back, so here's the money back. Or do we just say, well, how do you solve any problem, b'dinei shemayim? You have to go and daven and then wait for Yom Kippur and pop al faith and be sad about it and promise never to do it again. All right, so what exactly is the Prisha's Itza is unclear.
The time when there was a basin.
Yes.
So if I would loan you with interest,
yeah,
would I get Malthus?
I don't think there's Malthus is a neat thing. It's a lot of neat thing I say that you'd have to pay back now.
So if you pay back, you can avoid the Malthus. Therefore, there's no Malthus.
Okay. That's my reaction.
Did you say who was coming in? Let's see.
Is the woman?
The woman?
Which woman? I can see through the window.
What were you holding?
So we were in Sim Sefei, Kufsanach Sefei. So we just did the tour, Beis Yosef, and the Prisha. So with that, I think we'll head back to the. Itself. Wait for Sheldon to chase out the intruders.
I thought he walked through the door.
So what are the circumstances in which someone can be mochel?
The Rambam seems to have this statement where he says, oh, if you're mochel, everything's okay. So, In fact, he even quotes the Gaon as saying, mechila doesn't work. And then one of the classic cases that Rabbi Broid talked about, mechila doesn't work, but I think it does. What do you mean it does? So the way the Rush is quoted here in the Torah, and the way the Magid Mishnah explains it is that, but he's not talking about being mochel, the actual repayment of a loan with Rivas. He's talking about that if there was a repayment of a loan with Rivas, so the person who, Malha, the guy who now has the extra money, so he, in theory, has to give it back to the Lova. So that the Lova has the right to be mochel.
Right, I think that, I guess I was reading here, is that you can't be mocho, like once it's, the whole transaction is completed already, then you have the possibility of being mocho, but you can't like be mocho before, in the midst of the repayment procedures or whatever
Yes,
making installments. Right.
As the tour here says, right, that every case in theory of ribbis is a case of mechila, but the Torah says the Torah is not mechal. So,
anyway. Oh my God! I'm sorry, there was a huge shit in there. Maybe she was bringing clothing to the gemach. I don't know.
Oh, she left when.
All I saw was a huge shitty man in Jordan
for you.
Okay. People cleaning out now.
Awesome. That's true. Yes. This is using for the gemach. Okay. So take a look at Sif Hey in the Shulchan Aruch itself. So what does he say? Afilu im amar le b'shas l'kichas haribis, ani nosin l'chav b'matana. Even if at the time where he's taking the ribis, he says here, I'm giving it to you as a gift, aser. I mean, even if you don't say explicitly, this is a ribis payment, you say it is a gift payment, so that is still going, am I right? Yes, aser. Aser l'chav b'matana, you're not allowed to accept it from him. Period. The Shach comments, v'ayrafil b'rissu rabbanan, right? This is across the board. Aval im lakach himenu ribis. If he took the ribis already, the tzarech lachzir and wants to return to him, that moel is mechil lepatro. That the mechil will work to exempt kamo b'chol gezel, like all cases of gezel. Matana menasa hafsim ribis aser, like the mention of the Ran that the Darkei Moshe quoted there as well.
So the ribis is sort of treated like stolen.
Once you already have it, right? So then it's treated as stolen property, and then you have the right to be mochel. Yeah. Okay, so there is an interesting Piskei Tshuva here. Piskei Tshuva in Hay has really two parts to it. So the first part he quotes is, Ayin b'shaz ha-tshuvas tshuva mi'ava. Chelak alaf mi-simen nun dalet ad simen nun ches. Odos shenishal bi-echad sh'omer l'chaveru. The case is, one says to his friend, he named nosein l'cha mana b'matana gemur. I'm hereby giving you a mana with a full heart. Me'achshav. For the olam, amanasha titin li achar lamid yom, and for the olam, on condition that you give me after 30 days, kuf ches, you give me kuf chaf, 120. Hayesh bezeh hashash ribis doraisa or derabanan or rama ribis. So that sounds kind of fishy. Is that ribis doraisa derabanan or is it just harama? Have you gotten around the prohibition? Usually harama.
He's trying to.
Right, or have you gotten around the prohibition? But haram is generally has a negative connotation. Haram is usually Rav Shachter speaks of in as an article. Actually, it's a big Pesach issue. That's why that's why I do the sale probably before most other rabbanim do, unless he holds. You really have to. Harama, he qualifies not just you get around an issue. Harama is that you are getting around an issue. By nullifying a mitzvah saseh. That's when you have violated harama, that you've, not just if you avoided a prohibition, you have nullified a mitzvah that you otherwise should have been doing. So that would make sense here. There's a mitzvah of lending without ribis, so you're getting around the mitzvah of lending without ribis, you're violating it by doing this, by Pesach, just was a sinyone diyoma. So he assumes that how can you sell all your stuff? If you're selling all your stuff, aren't you just getting around your... It sounds like a Rama. So he says, yeah, it could be a Rama. If you burn your chametz and you're left with a closet full of chametz and then you sell that, yes, you have gotten around your mitzvah of destroying your chametz. You're no longer fulfilling your mitzvah of tashbisu, and that would be a violation of a Rama. But if you sell 99% of your chametz and all you have left is 1% of your chametz, which is now 100% of your chametz, and you burn all of that... So then you have fulfilled your mitzvah of teshvisu. So there's no problem of harama anymore by selling your chametz. So that's why I sell the chametz. So I'll wait to sell it till later. But But then, in theory, everybody, I mean, this is the way I think in my shul growing up, you used to, in the morning, you used to come to shul, there was already a thing that was burning, you used to throw your chametz in, and the rabbi would sell it whenever he would sell it. So that's why, no, 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 then, that you, what have you done in that case? You burnt 10 pieces of bread, but you still have all the bread left in your house. So in order to avoid that issue, get rid of all the bread in your house first by selling it. All you have left is whatever is owned in that paper bag. You burn that, and then you have fulfilled your mitzvah of tashbis.
So you sell, sell early. You
sell. Well, so I sell, my sale is 9:30.
You're still allowed to eat chametz then?
What? Yes, you're still allowed to eat chametz. So I explained to Mr. Churchill that people still have chametz in their houses. There's two categories. One is the stuff that they have left out, which they intend on eating. If they don't eat it, they're going to throw it out. So in which case, it's not your concern anyways. Or there might be some stuff that they're going to eat, you know, have a bowl of cereal and then put the rest of the cereal into the thing. In which case, they're technically eating your chametz. So Mr. Churchill in the past has generally been okay with that. He's a pretty generous person and he's willing to, but recognize that you're eating his chametz just out of his, generosity, he is willing to help out the, you know, the his constituents on Erev Pesach in their times of need. What?
Maybe if you eat cornflakes or Rice Krispies, it's not such a problem.
Ah. So that's his kasha, right? So if you do this, I'm giving you a gift. This is a full gift, but it's on condition that you give me a little bit more. Okay, so v'chol mashkatz v'aposim hayushi milva gemura v'atnai haya al haribas tateslo derech matana. That the discussion of the poskim is generally is like what did it say in Shulchan Aruch? The Shulchan Aruch case was that we're giving you. That it's about the ribis being given as a matana. This case is a little bit different. There's no mention of a loan at all. But he answers. The Shulchan Aruch answers. So you're right, it's probably not. Rather, it just only looks like ribis or it's a rubber ribis. But then, v'shuv chazar hachacham hashoel v'harich levayer d'yishkan iser Torah. Now, no, it's an iser d'oraisa. This is the same iser d'oraisa as anything else. Just because you're not using the word loan, you're using the word gift, but you're adding to the term gift, wink, wink, that then puts in the category of a loan, and that would probably qualify as an iser d'oraisa. So that's issue A. Right, and then the Baal Mechaber agrees to them, and that's the fine. And if you skip probably a line or two, he says, "V'chazav v'seifer knesses hagadol." This is interesting. It's just seder lemisha. It's a little hard to follow who's who here, but I have to read a few times. But just seder lemisha ratza lalus l'eretz Yisrael. There was a fellow who went to Eretz Yisrael. V'haya rotzel haniach keren. He wanted to leave a principle. She's parnes v'menu kol yemei chayav. He wanted to leave a principle. By let's say that you're going to support me, so I'm making aliyah. Horowitz is making aliyah, so it's a very dangerous trip to go to Israel. So they're going to sell their house, they're going to take and build their whole fortune, and then they're going to take that on the trip. So what happens if a ganav comes? He's going to steal it from them. So they go instead. He goes to Sheldon and says, "Listen, Sheldon, here's all my cash." It's yours. On condition that you send me a monthly stipend. Right? That's the deal that
trust.
You're working at.
Charitable trust.
This is confusing. You checked it out? Is invoked by Verizon as being a charitable trust. What exactly? This isn't exactly that. This is the charitable trust, you're putting it into a non-entity. This is an entity. You're putting it into Sheldon. Sheldon's a person.
You could probably do this with a Hetrusk.
Okay. Okay. What is this heter
iskin? Yeah, but it actually doesn't work as well. According to it doesn't work as well with Sheldon because he's an individual. Now, Sheldon was a the JNF or something like that.
Hold on, okay, but the case here is that Sheldon is that he's giving it to a person, right? She's parties he made a koi mechayv sheitin amos l'ploni l'matana uploni yehei mechuyv atislo kach v'kach. So he's obligated to give Joel X amount a year koi mechayv all the days of his life imatim arbei, whether he lives a long time or he lives a short time. V'im yamos, and if he dies, hanosein the giver. Now it's not Sheldon. You're not Sheldon's not the giver. You're the giver. You're the one who
but
gave him
money
the money.
If I die early.
Yes, yes. And it's in his interest that you die.
Vim
Yamus Hanosein Tekev. So if the giver, the original giver, Joel, dies soon, Yisharu Hanachasun LeMakabel. So then Sheldon gets to keep it. Vim Yaruch Yamim. And if Joel lives a long life, Chayv HaMakabel Yishloach Lo Kol Yamav Hasach Asach Shekitzvo Bineihim. The amount that they agree between them. L'Ravucha Demilsa. Asay Sheitin Hamos V'Matana Gemura LeMakabel. So it's better. And even to make things better, Joel went to Sheldon and said, "This is a full gift to you." But then afterwards he made the chim, he gave him the full gift, and then said, "You're obligated to give it to me." So what's the case there? So I'm b'she'elos yavitz, right? Rav Yaakov ended. Shafifik al heter zeh. Oh, sorry, he said. Yeah, he muttered it. Whoever this was, who was it?
That's
Rav Yaakov Emden. The first case was, yeah, and in order to make it better, he said, and why don't you make it a full gift when you make the arrangement in order to make it better? So that, at first, the Knesset HaGadola seemed to matter it. Mm-hmm. So then see the child, the Yavits, the Pipek Al-Hatzer, argued on it a little bit. Mikol Makam Havi Ribbis, it's Ribbis, Mil Pachos HaRama Ribbis, at the very least, it's a Rama Ribbis. Kol Mash Mekabel Yoser Me'akeron, whatever Joel gets, if he outlives the principal, so whatever he gets is more. So then that's going to be a problem. So Gakum was not so thrilled. So what is the conclusion? So this is discussed, talked about here. Right?
That's complicated. I think the ones that are written now are written in such a way that the charitable organization is not going to lose money. Because I think what they pay is depending on what the returns are.
Well, if you get a regular annuity, though, and you get it for life.
I have an annuity, and it changes. When you put it in, the pocket of money that you put in at the particular time, that it continues to earn at that rate. But I think it does go down.
I think when I'm talking about putting an annuity, I get a certain amount of money until my wife dies. But they have a lot of people, and they use methods.
There's a minimal amount. But when you put it in, it was paying more than that minimal amount. But yeah, as time goes on, it's approaching that minimal amount.
So he says here. So he has three categories here. He says when the donor stipend do not exceed the amount which was donated, so that would be okay. Right? The donor is not.
But it's a matter of chance when I die.
It's capped.
It's capped. Yeah. Okay.
But if he could possibly get more, so then that would be a problem. But if the trust had been set up in a manner which guarantees the donor will receive his annual stipend, even if the trust does not actually earn the amount in profits, so then that's considered ribbis. I mean, if it's set up that only in limited cases, considered. However, if the donor is only entitled to receive the stipend if the trust actually earns a profit, so then that would be okay. Or that'd be okay. Plus, that's an iska. Yeah, you're giving money to. Well, to the trust for investment purposes. So that you could possibly lose, you could possibly gain. If a heter risk is used, so then that would be okay, right? Because you're going into business. So he adds here in the bottom that it would be noted that Rabbi Reisman on page 216 should be noted that Rav Moshe would matter it. Why would Rav Moshe matter it? Because Rav Moshe, falls under the corporate heter. Right, when the Lova is a corporation, so the Isser of Ribbis does not apply. The Ribbis is only when a person is Meshuba to pay back. And in this case, there's no person that is actually Meshuba in order to pay back. This is one of corporations, so the same thing would apply here. There's no individual that is Meshuba to this. Actually, it's a Shuba I'm working on in the morning now as well, from beginning to end. But that is his. Rav Moshe spent the first page or so talking about what it means that person actually has a Shibud HaGuf. a person actually is obligated to do it, and if they don't have the money, you're obligated to do whatever you can in order to pay back the money. So that doesn't apply to in the corporate world. So
even if it's a Jewish corporation, it doesn't matter.
What?
To go, it shouldn't matter.
Yeah. Now the Minchas Yitzchak's kid, from the other end, it could also be had to the other side as well, in terms of a mortgage. When you have a Jewish bank and a Jewish mortgage person, so the flip side of the heter is that if a person backs out on their mortgage, so what are they meshuvah for? They're not really meshuvah akuf. They're really meshuvah for their house. They have their house as the collateral, and they in theory can walk away. So because it's the house that's responsible, not the person, so that might be grounds for heter in a general mortgage situation.
The news, I think they use actuarial tables. So even if I live too long, and they lose money on me, they'll make money on John because he died younger. You know,
yeah,
they never worked out, so they don't lose money. As a whole, even though they might lose money on one particular.
Right. So I'm not up to that yet, but
that's probably not something they deal with.
It's beyond the
standard
the rabbi's ability.
Yeah,
the collective annuity. Risk.
The purpose of the annuity is to make sure you have money to pay.
Right.
You're giving up a lot of money, and you want to make sure they pay. So they give you a rate which they think fits with their age and your.
Yeah, they want to make money off of that. It's a big business. This charitable annuities.
TIA Crest isn't really.
No, I'm talking about charitable annuities. JNF and other people. The
university.
Maybe we'll as Pesach has come, maybe we'll do the next sif inside here. Maybe we'll go back and focus on it again. But this is a very important sif as well. The whole sif in Kavsanach is really. You always wonder what's after Kavsanach. There's so many topics being covered in Kavsanach. But in Kavsanach sifay comments, Afilim Amarli Bishas Lakichas Aribis Ani Nosin Lacha Bimatana. That even if at the time of the ribis, that you're not allowed to do ribis before, ribis after. Kitzah, what would that be? So nasan einav lulvos mimenu v'haya mishagir lo dorum. That if a person says, "Oh, I need I'm going to need a loan soon. Let me send a gift to Sheldon because he likes giving loans, but I want to make sure I'm on his good side. So I'll send him a gift beforehand, having nothing to do with the loan. So uperish b'shvil sheyovehu. But then he says, the Rama adds in, and he says that this is in order so that you'll lend me money. So I send him money, saying, just keep this in mind. In a month from now, because I'm going to need a loan. Oshahu matana meruba, or it's a lot more than I would ever give. The mistama habi ki'ilu perish. It's as if we said it. I mean, why else would I be giving him so much money if not that I wanted a favor for him coming up? So shil shealvuhu zuhi ribis mukdemes. That's considered so ribis mukdemes. Lo yemenu v'hichser lo ma'osa. But if I borrow from him. And I return him the money. And then I send him a gift later. Oh, here's a gift for all the things he gave me. That's considered ribis mulcheres. So to give money either before or after, that's not ribis. Certainly, it's not ribis deraisa because it's not set up as part of the loan. But such a thing would be prohibited. That's considered avak ribis. If you went ahead and did it.
So that work. That's even if it's not. Money. I mean, you want some kind of favor, like, say, political favor, company or something like that. Because
we call that a bribe. We don't really call that a loan.
Well, I'm just having trouble getting my head around the fact that if he wants money, he's got money to give the guy now, and in order for him to get money later, but it would make more sense that he's giving him money to get something in return. That's not necessarily money or just some kind of favor.
Well, a favor, that's buying and selling. I'm allowed to buy and sell it. That's not fault of the context of ribbis.
This is
might fall into the issue of shochad. It might fall into, into the issue of
it's basically bribery. It's bribery, basically.
If you do a favor in order to lend you money, that might be.
Right, that would then be ribbis. If it's anything, if there's an exchange of money back and forth, and and there's anything more that one person is getting than the other, so that's when you fall into the ribbis issue. But if it's just an exchange of goods, buying and selling, that's not a ribbis issue. That's a That's a sale issue. So Rabbi Reisen said in his issue that I listened to, he commented that the shaila they used to throw around in yeshiva is the following, right? So there's an issue of giving shalach manos to the person you're getting a loan from. Unless you normally give the person shalach manos, so then you wouldn't be allowed to give him. So, but what about, you're not giving him the shalach, a guy gives you a nice loan, and you want to give him shalach manos. Now you're not giving him shalach manos to pay him back for the loan he's giving to you. You're giving him shalach manos because now you have a relationship with him. But why do you have a relationship with that person? Because he gave you a loan. Right? So that's a chicken egg issue, which maybe will take the next couple of weeks to think about back and forth, and maybe we'll come up with some kind of teretz and hadracha in a couple of weeks we'll pick up. Okay.